This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, we are 15 days out, ladies and gentlemen. 15 days. Hard to believe, general election, fast and furious. It is coming upon us, November the 6th. He, the GOP chairman in Suffolk County, and his name, of course, is Ms. LaValle, John J. LaValle, to be exact. Part of a spotlight segment on Long Island, and we welcome John. Haven't spoke to him in a couple of weeks. Good to have him, as always. How are you, sir?
How's everything?
It's doing great. Doing great here. It's a cool start, but we're in gear this time of the year. It's always exciting because we're a couple of weeks out. Yeah, I love it. I'll tell you, you and I speak about all this stuff. You know, last time we spoke, you know, I'll tell you this much. Before the primary, John, and we said, you know, with the turnout and everything else that came to play on the 13th of September, you know, I think people are more in tune now with what's happening all around. I think the numbers will be there in 15 days. What do you think?
Well, I think we're going to have a pretty decent turnout this year. I mean, certainly the president literally has raised everyone's awareness about, you know, government and politics and what's going on in the country. And I think you're going to see, you know, a better turnout, which is good. We like that. So, you know, certainly we're encouraged as Republicans by, you know, an increased turnout. We think our base is motivated, especially after the Kavanaugh hearings. That was a complete disgrace. And I think it really put the Democrats, you know, really showcase the Democrats and who they are and what they're about. And I think that is going to bode well for the Republicans in particular.
The Kavanaugh situation definitely shed light. Local races, you know, it's interesting. And I've said all along, you know, we'll start in the state Senate spots 3 and 4. Tom Croce to other endeavors in his life. D. Murray, the selection. He's been very strong in Albany. I've said that all along. Very strong candidate, I feel. No question about it. Interesting to know Phil Boyle picking up pace. He's been a staple in the 4th. Observations 3 and 4, important. Senate control, the whole thing at stake here.
Yeah, well, you know, the Murray race just breaks down to something very simple. If you're the average resident, you know, sitting at home, you got yourself, are you going to vote for someone like Dean Murray, who's been a fighter for the local taxpayer and our local community? Or are you going to side with someone like Monica Martinez, who wants to give free education, a free college education to illegal immigrants? And, you know, that one issue really kind of breaks down, you know, who the candidates are. And take on top of that Martinez actually represents a community as a legislator, a Democrat legislator, where there is the problem coming from MS-13 and the drugs on the streets. And what has she done as a legislator to try to combat that? Nothing. Nothing has happened. And, you know, Dean Murray is there in Albany, you know, raising awareness on these issues and fighting as hard as he can. And even from, you know, her job as the local representative, she's really achieved absolutely nothing. She hasn't really come out, you know, very strongly on the issue. Maybe more concerned about, you know, alienating Hispanic voters rather than dealing with an issue that's destroying our children and our community. So, you know, Murray is someone who his record speaks for itself. He's a fighter. He really loves the job he's doing in Albany, you know, fighting for taxpayers. He works very hard at it. And that's what you want. That's what you expect from the people that you elect, is to go to work and work very hard, not to coast. I think that's generally the mode that Martinez has been in. You know, Murray has been that guy in the trenches fighting all along. And, you know, this is a race. I mean, let's jump to the governor's race and what's going on there. I mean, I'm bewildered that the governor refuses to debate Mark Molinaro and then agrees to a radio debate, but doesn't want it to be televised. You know, this is for the highest office in the state of New York. You would think that a state that is failing so miserably as New York is failing would have a debate on the issues by the incumbent against the challenger so that everyone could see what the positions of the two individuals are. Obviously, the governor's embarrassed about how bad he's doing as a governor, or he comes to the table and he debate and he let, you know, for all New Yorkers to see so he could talk about his great accomplishments as governor. Of course, that would be a very short debate because he doesn't have any great accomplishments as governor. But I'm wildly offended at a resident, someone just who, you know, obviously I participate in the process, but to see the governor refusing, I mean, it should be mandated that these individuals are, you know, debating. The public deserves nothing less. I mean, we're literally last in everything in the country. I mean, except for highest taxes and most regulations on our businesses, New York trails everyone. This is not acceptable. And for a governor to, you know, raise money through special interest groups and just throw money at his race and run commercials telling everyone how wonderful he is and how wonderful New York is a disgrace. So, you know, we'll see, because I think everything's going to start at the top of the ticket. I think people need to understand that, you know, Cuomo needs to go. That, you know, he's been there too long and he's not getting the job done. In fact, I wouldn't care if he was there 100 years if he'd get the job done. He's just not. And, you know, if we send Dean Murray and the rest of our delegation back to the Senate, the truth is we need a governor that we can work with to solve the problems of New York State. And we don't have one right now.
I couldn't agree with you more. Everything you said about Cuomo, I think it was apropos, John, that the governor was depicted in a chicken suit on the New York Post page. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been a loud voice in this stuff. I'm sorry. I think it should be mandated. It has to be. It has to be. When you have a track record as lousy as Andrew Cuomo has, you know, listen, the final straw for me was allowing the parolees to vote, 35,000 cheap way of garnering votes, in my opinion. You've got to vote. You have to debate issues. People want to see what's going on here. I don't care what kind of lead you have in the polls and everything else. I don't care how much money you have in the coffers. I don't care. I think you have a right to the public to somehow show your stance on issues and everything else. This state has been under lousy leadership, hands down. I don't care what affiliation you have, if you are a Democrat, an independent, I don't really give a damn. You have to figure out that New York has been run in such lousy fashion right now. You have to wonder what the heck is going on in the mind of an Andrew Cuomo. I mean, you have a right to tell the folks out there, and I'm sorry, it should be a mandate, and thank goodness. I mean, push, and I mean push comes to shove here. On a tape broadcast, disgraceful as it is, the fact of the matter is everybody needs to know what's going on here.
Sure, and listen, not only, you know, that's a great issue you brought up about the parolees. There was also at one time, you know, the concept they wanted driver's license for illegal immigrants, free education. The governor raised the possibility of having, you know, illegal immigrants voting. So that's what they want. Here we are, average residents paying our taxes, going to work, and if I was a Democrat, I'd be pretty embarrassed, because your party, even though you're going to work, you're working hard, you're raising your family, they're not looking to help you. They're looking to tax even you more, and yet to get elected, they want parolees to vote, they want illegal immigrants to vote. They're trying to wash away our vote. Whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, whatever you are, you're the hardworking taxpayer of this state. They want to continue to dilute our votes by allowing these, you know, subsections of people to vote that don't deserve to vote and shouldn't be voting and aren't a part of, you know, New York's solution. They're part of New York's problem. And unfortunately, there are people not paying close enough attention. Because, like you're saying, it's not necessarily a partisan political issue. It's really an issue of logic, and which brings me right over to, you know, our federal candidates, which, you know, both Lee Zeldin and Pete King have done phenomenal jobs, and they are in Washington fighting the fight, you know, fighting the fight on a logical basis of what's best for the people of their districts. And, you know, you have challengers like, you know, someone like Perry Gershon, who is just throwing money at the race, is far too liberal, far too left for this district, has nothing in common with the district. In fact, still doesn't even have his cell phone number, I believe, the 917 number, which is absolutely indicative of, you know, his mindset and who he is and where he's from. You know, these are not the type of people. They're trying to take advantage of the time, thinking that there's this wave that's going to bring them in. But, you know, we need to continue to have local representatives, are, you know, going to Washington, who are from our community, who understand our community, who are there fighting for our community, not some liberal cause. You know, at the end of the day, this is about the congresspersons that we're going to send to Washington. It's about who's going to represent us. They're not there to represent, you know, the left-wing liberal progressive movement of the Democrat Party. They're there to represent the hardworking taxpayer of our community. That's what it's all about. This is not what's going on, both in the King and Zeldin races. You have challengers that are just these left-wing, crazy, liberal, progressive people that are in their mind, they're representing their cause. But on election day, the residents of our community are going to send someone to Washington that's there to represent their community, and that's where Lee Zeldin and Pete King come in. And it's what they've always done, and it's what I believe the residents are going to send them back to continue to do.
Judge Jay LaValle with us. She is the GOP chairman, Suffolk County. I'll tell you one more thing. I wanted to hit it after our Cuomo conversation. Was about also on the federal level, John, with old Kirsten, what's her name? I forgot her last name. I'm not really familiar with it. But I'll tell you this much. Another one that was pushed, comes to shove regarding debate there. You know what? It just rankles my brain cells when I hear about the proposed abolishment of ICE with the arrests, the two over the weekend, MS-13. My goodness. We still want to abolish ICE, Kirsten? I mean, Senator, get real. It's unbelievable to skirt issues all the time, to not show up, to show up once in a blue moon here. Quite frankly, it's disgraceful beyond, you know, you talk about Cuomo and everything else. Gillibrand, even on the higher level, has been a terrible representative, especially when it comes to Long Island. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. Pete King has been vocal. Abolish ICE. I mean, sir, are we kidding you? Who's kidding who? I mean, get in front of a podium and debate issues. People want to see Kirsten Gillibrand at this point in time, you know, try and answer some questions here, because I got to tell you, she has been a train wreck of a senator, in my opinion.
Well, absolutely. And you know, our challenger, who's really fighting to get the recognition out there so people understand who she is and what she stands for, you know, Shel Farley is very well qualified to serve in the United States Senate, and certainly would be conducting herself more in tune with the needs of Long Islanders, rather than yesterday, you know, she's just there. Another person who's talking about, you know, New York is a blue state, and you know, she's just going along to get along. I don't know what real issue, what the cornerstone of her campaign is, what the purpose of her existence is in the Senate. Usually, everyone has something that they, you know, they champion. I'm not quite sure what that is for her, and she's been there for so long. I think she should have figured that out by now. We should be able to identify, you know, her with a cause and purpose. It doesn't exist. The cause and the purpose is to be elected and get reelected, and that's it. And you know, it's a wild joke that she's actually even allowed her name to be put out there as a potential candidate for president. It's like, really? You know, whenever you figure out when you're gonna start actually being a senator, then maybe we can, you know, take the next step at a later date. But I still don't know you know, what she stands for and what she's fighting for and, you know, why she would be best for the people of the state of New York. There's just no reason. But that's a race that, because she's hanging so low, because she's being so quiet, a lot of people even forgot that there's a U.S. Senate race that she's talking about. Well, that's part of her goal, is let's hang low, let's not be seen or heard.
John, it's a standing joke with these people. You know, you can make the case, two words, Pennsylvania Avenue. These are the aspirations of an Andrew Cuomo and a Kirsten Gillibrand. I mean, you can make that case. I don't want to hear about, I'm all in it, 4 years, the whole thing. Enough of this nonsense. You know, you could just kind of see the lies and everything else coming into play here. These are the aspirations to head to the White House. Okay, that's why their heads are in other places. That's the bottom line. They're not concentrated on helping the state and everything else. These are the aspirations of some of these politicians.
Jay, I'd like to tell you where their heads actually are, but that probably wouldn't be appropriate for you, Shell. The truth is, though, they're clearly their interest. Forget about where their heads are, because I know where their heads are. But their interest is not with us, and it's not with the people of Long Island and the taxpayers of Long Island. And it's so critically important that we don't forget that. It's critically important that we send our state Senate delegation back. I mean, that's one of the biggest fights out there is, if the Senate goes into Democrat hands, we will once again, just like in 2010, have a situation where, where, you know, the Senate went into Democrat hands and the result was absolutely disastrous. It's going to be worse this time because then they weren't trying to be these wild progressive liberals. Now they are. And it's going to be really bad for Long Islanders, really bad for our school system, really bad for our property taxes. It's going to be devastating. And, you know, the joke out there was, you know, the Democrat chair in Suffolk County is always trying to kind of help the Republicans stay in power. It's because he's a realist and he knows that the city liberals are going to decimate Long Island. And that's going to hurt, you know, the local Democrats when they come up for reelection. And it did the last time this occurred, when they were passing all kinds of taxes and regulations, and, you know, you had the MTA payroll tax, you had fishing, all of a sudden we were getting taxed if we want to fish. You know, I mean, they just look at Long Islanders as a pocketbook. They know that here, the local Democrat chair, he gets it. He understands that he has nothing in common with these wild liberals out there, and certainly knows that the people of our community don't, and it'll be devastating for everyone. So hopefully people are paying attention. Hopefully, you know, what's sad is Cuomo's raised tens of millions of dollars, just like Gillibrand, and they're telling everyone how wonderful they are and what a great job they're doing. And the challengers, you know, are fighting hard. Mark Molinaro is fighting hard to, you know, raise the resources, to raise the awareness, just to get the message out that, hey, you do have an alternative. You know, I am actually, you know, an executive. I mean, he is an executive that runs a county government that has done all the things that we need to do to fix New York State. You know, has gotten involved in, you know, cutting spending and reducing taxes and reducing the burden and consolidating services and making government more efficient, more lean, and more effective for, you know, the residents in his instance of Dutchess County. And he wants to bring those successes to New York State and battle with the legislature to make them better. Because, quite frankly, I don't think the legislature has fought hard enough against the governor. There's too much compromising going on. I think we need to go, you know, instead of fighting for, you know, the quickest and most on-time budget, no, we need the right budgets. We need the right legislation. And, you know, we need a governor in there that is going to fight for us. And this is our opportunity. 4 years ago, Rob Astorino ran for governor. He won this race in Suffolk County. I fully expect Mark Molinaro is going to do the same thing. But I hope residents wake up in time to understand this is not the debate that the Democrats are trying to have. This is you know, focus on the reality that New York is failing while the rest of America is cranking and pumping and doing well, rebounding. New York is still lagging behind in really the fruits of this amazing economy. And we need to get elected officials that are going to be on board and move New York where it should be. And that's, you know, back into the one spot in this country, not in the 49th spot, because that's where we are, by the way.
No
That's
question.
Where we are, 49.
John, yeah, we are. It's terrible. John J. Lavelle with us. Minute or two left. John, a couple of things before we let you go. 2-3. Tony Palumbo keeps going in the second. The Assembly. Joe DiStefano, interesting guy. Right guy, I think, in my opinion, to take the reins in the third. You know, one thing about Palumbo, a little birdie told me his opponent asked, how many trips does one make to Albany? I mean, come on. I mean, if that doesn't signify, you know, something going on as far as not being connected, I don't know what does. But let me get to it's terrible. It really is. But let me get to the controller's race. I had a wonderful conversation last week with Mr. Kennedy, John M., and I'll tell you one thing. He has accomplished so much. To me, he gave me the line of the season, where you have the chief budget officer trying to elect his own chief fiscal officer. And I'll tell you one thing. You know, if we move ahead to 2019, I don't know what's going to become, but I'll tell you this much, John. You know, we can't take too many pitfalls anymore here in Suffolk. You know, we got to get it right or else. And I'll tell you one thing. Somebody has to be on top of the ticket if you are going to battle an incumbent who has stubbed his toe in many a way. I'll tell you that much. Give me a couple of things. One, controller's race. Two, county executive's race. Looking ahead, 2019. Go ahead.
Well, listen, I don't blame Steve Ballone for fighting hard against John Kennedy. He should be, because there is no question that there has been no one that has been a better fiscal watchdog for the taxpayers of Suffolk County over the last couple of years. I mean, John Kennedy is holding Steve Ballone's feet to the fire. John Kennedy is pointing out to the residents and taxpayers many problems with our county government. Most recently is, you know, John Kennedy, look at this lawsuit that went on that John Kennedy won, wherein he was trying to have some basic oversight of the RFP process. That's the process wherein people bid on doing work in government. Steve Ballone doesn't want that, because what Steve Ballone is doing is he's got these waiver committees that waive the process wherein people actually bid competitively to get the lowest and best price on behalf of the taxpayers. He's got this bogus process panel in place that waives that process and hands contracts to people who ironically are political contributors to Steve Ballone. And he's been doing it for several years. John Kennedy's looking at these processes, and he's saying, whoa, we've got a problem here, because we're not being competitive. We're not following New York state law. And he brought it to court, and he won it. And that's just like one little example of, you know, how John Kennedy is challenging the Ballone administration and forcing them to be more transparent and, you know, more effective for the residents. And Steve Ballone doesn't want that. So, there's no question that someone like Steve Ballone is going to fight tooth and nail to stop John Kennedy, because John Kennedy is the guy who is standing in his way from using, you know, our government just as a, you know, political wheelhouse to, you know, crank patronage and crank out contributions. And that's what's going on. But we need someone in there fighting hard, auditing the various divisions, making sure our government is effective and efficient and working as best as it possibly can for the residents of Suffolk County. That's what the job was supposed to be about. This is the first time in years that we've had a controller that's actually focusing on making our government more effective and efficient and rooting out fraud and waste within our government. That's the role, and he's gotten the job done. And Ballone doesn't like that. He wants someone who's going to go along, get along, wink, wink, you know, let's not fight, let's just work together. But their code is, you know, let's work together means you know, let me continue my fraudulent existence. Let me continue to try to raise money to get reelected on the backs of the taxpayers without really focusing on what's in the best interest of the same taxpayers. And that's going to end. It's all over. That little dance is quickly coming to a conclusion. And, you know, Kennedy's, like I said, but as far as controller right now, like forget about what's going to happen next year. But who is the best person to be the watchdog for Suffolk County? There's no question it's John Kennedy. I mean, to put a patsy in there like Jay Schneiderman, who's just looking for a pay raise because, you know, to pad his pension, you know, and what is he going to do? He's really going to take Steve Ballone to task? I mean, that's ridiculous. Talk about putting a fox in the hen house. I mean, you might as well just burn the place down at that point. So, you know, there's not even a choice in that race. Kennedy is absolutely the person for the job.
John, you hit the word on the head, transparency. This is, you know, you look at Albany and you look right here on Long Island. We have to have transparency involved. You know, the fees on top of fees on top of the other fees, you know, enough. People are tired of it. You cannot keep taxing, and that's what it is. It's a tax. It is an extra tax. The mortgage fees and everything else, it's a tax, folks. The red light camera stuff, you know, the money grab, people are tired of it. There's no more money to be had. You know, people are leaving the state, leaving the county faster than you can imagine here. Enough is enough, you know, enough is enough. People have had it. So I think they're more in tune with what's happening right now with all this stuff. So I think people, you're going to see the numbers at the polls and everything else. I really believe. And by the way, we didn't even talk judges yet. Another very important spot on the ticket. Judges, very important stuff, John. People have to be in tune with.
Absolutely. Judges are always important. And let me say one thing, whether it's for the judicial races, the governor's race, you know, an educated voter is the Republican Party's best friend. We want the voters to be educated. We want the voters paying attention, whether it's to the corruption in Albany, whether it's to the corruption that's going on here in Suffolk County. We want the residents to pay attention. We want them to understand what's actually going on with their government, not to just listen to what the politicians are saying that are trying to get themselves reelected, you know, at election time. We've got to look at it where they understand what's going on. And yes, our judiciary is critically important to us. As an attorney, it's extremely important to me, understanding that this is where residents go to redress their grievances, you know, in a very civil way. We need the best judges possible. We need the most qualified people possible. That's important to us, critically important to us. Clearly, you know, the Bar Association itself has repeatedly, members of the Bar Association have repeatedly stated how the quality of the judiciary in Suffolk County is deteriorating at a very rapid pace. They haven't been shy about saying it to us in circles. I wish they'd come very public with it and go tell Newsday what they continue to tell us privately, how concerned they are with how bad things are getting based on, you know, the backroom deals that are occurring in Suffolk politics. So, you know, my hope is, you know, residents are paying attention to that, too. Listen, at the end of the day, you can be safe if you vote Roe v. right down the line on all of the Republican candidates. That's one thing I could absolutely assure you. You will have candidates who are dedicated and focused on the quality of life issues that are important to our residents, especially when it comes to our property taxes, and you're going to have judges who are going to be honest and ethical. That is a guarantee. You will be better suited voting Roe v. There's no question in my mind.
All right, very important day. It happens in 15. That's right. 11-6, voting day, folks. Get out there. Make sure you do that Tuesday, election day. John, always a pleasure. We'll talk right before. And good insight all the way around here. Big time education for many out there still undecided. And just, you know, look up these candidates. Look up the facts. And I always say, ask yourself if you are better today than you were 2-4 years ago. Doesn't matter. Got to ask yourself honestly. Well, and if not, make the change. You have that right to do so. A lot of people have to figure that
out. Well, you know, Jay, I'll say
that's
this.
The key.
If they focus on their 401k and their stocks and their investments, they're going to tell you they are better off, and they should know that's based on what Donald Trump's doing in Washington and Lee Zeldin and Pete King, on their behalf, moving this country in a different direction, but. They need to focus on what's going on locally. That's something that
that's okay.
Most residents, yeah, they're watching Fox News or CNN, and they're not watching what's going on locally. And these characters are undermining them. Some of these local people are just—they're not doing right by the people, and it's about that simple. But
Mr. Chairman, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Have a great day.